Hello and welcome to this podcast. I'm Francis Seeley and I have with me today Emma Rigby from Love Your Doorstep. And we both also belong to the Enfield Climate Action Forum. And today we're interviewing Bambos Sharalambos, who is the Labour candidate in Enfield Southgate. And this is one of the podcasts that we've been doing where we've interviewed most of the candidates in the three constituencies in the London Borough of Enfield. And in the Climate Forum, we believe that climate change is one of the most, if not the most important issue facing us today, and should be the most important issue in this general election. So we began this interview by asking Bambos if he felt that climate change was the most important issue.
It's massively important. Obviously, as you've said, the Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change has said if we don't reduce carbon emissions drastically in the next 10 years, we're at risk of the temperatures rising by 2%. And as people say, there is no plan. There is no planet B. I think it's unfortunately it does get drowned out with Brexit in Parliament. But we have moved, the Labour Party has made a number of commitments in relation to climate change. This was being done previously by Ed Miliband. He was the first actual minister in charge of climate change. So much of the stuff that we were talking about was being talked about 10 years ago. So things like, you know, the Green Industrial Revolution, which it promises to create a million jobs in the green economy is to be welcomed. Also retrofitting our homes to make sure that we don't have any more to reduce the emissions from people's homes through heat is also to be welcomed. And there's various other things that I can talk about.
Okay, well, let's go through some of that. And as I said, we've got Emma with us today. So Emma, over to you.
Hey, the Committee of Climate Change has said the UK is not on target to meet 2050 commitment. I suppose I want to know what you will do as our MP to fight this issue.
Yeah, well, I've raised it in Parliament. I've asked a number of questions in Parliament, taken part in debates about it. But on a local level, and I do think we need to look at planting more trees. We need to look at the way that we travel to and from work. We need to make sure we use more alternatives to cars. So we need to look at our own behaviour. So I think there are areas there that we can certainly do locally. One of the things that is in our manifesto is about insulating our homes, because homes also cause a fair amount of emissions. So doing things like that would certainly help.
But the scientists say that we are in a really critical situation, and a growing body of them are saying that we need to come to zero emissions, not by 2050, by 2030. And your conference said that too, but you have gone back on that. Why have you gone back on that? Is it because of union pressure? Is it union pressure that is pushing you into listening to them rather than the scientists?
I think it's whether we can actually achieve it by 2030. Obviously, I'd like us to achieve it as soon as possible, but there may be some structural elements to prevent us from doing that, because to actually create the 1 million jobs that we want for the green economy will take a fair bit of time. We want to give you an example, if you want to create some more jobs in carbon capture, you need to train those engineers to actually do that. There are currently not sufficient number of university places to train the engineers to get them ready for carbon capture in time. So we are going to be pushed to meet those targets, but we should be aiming for that. So it is a clear ambition for us. And I would very much like us to achieve it by 2030.
Okay, Emma.
Great. So according to the Friends of the Earth research around Enfield's area and performance on climate change, it's really poor compared to other areas across the UK. We'd like to know what you would do to convince the local authority that they should be doing better.
Well, I would look at sort of best practice elsewhere. So I'd be interested to see what other boroughs are doing that Enfield isn't, because Enfield is probably the biggest employer in the area, in the borough. So I think maybe looking at how they can actually encourage the staff to also be more mindful of carbon emissions and what they're doing about making the environment green. But certainly things like tree planting should be high up there. I think obviously, I know it's controversial, but the cycle scheme certainly will help people look at alternatives to using their car. But the first point has to be benchmarking with other authorities, seeing what they're doing, why they're doing it in a particular way. Things like the way that we use energy, looking at sort of other alternatives to fossil fuels is also something that we should look at as well.
The problem is, though, with Enfield is that, you know, they do have one of the worst records of all London boroughs, according to Friends of the Earth. And the Tyndale Institute in Manchester University says they must, in order to be on target, reduce their emissions year by year by 13%. They've got one of the oldest stock of housing. They have more emissions coming from housing than any of the other, than the national average. So they're really well behind. I mean, what can we do there? And how can we convince them? And how can we know what they're doing? Because they're holding their meetings in secret and they don't let the public in.
Yeah, well, I certainly welcome openness in government. So I'd... you know, if I was still a councillor, I'd want to publish those minutes and make them available for all to see, because I think that would be a good way forward to show what's being done. I think retrofitting properties would certainly help. So things like looking at sort of doing providing insulation in council properties would certainly be a big advantage, or any properties that the any buildings the council has would be if the council owns would also be a big start. So I'd certainly look at that as a one way forward. Obviously, there the council has cyclical repairs. The housing revenue account, which funds a lot of the improvements, is capped at a certain level. So I think there needs to be, we need to look at whether funding can be available. There might well be grants from government that can look at this, but I think retrofitting homes is one way forward. Which would help reduce the emissions.
Okay, that's going to be very expensive. But anyhow, over to you, Emma.
Well, it's in the manifesto, so you know it has been costed, but hopefully local authorities will get grants for retrofitting homes. We did it with the there was a scheme that was launched by, it's a different scheme, but all council homes were to be fitted with new bathrooms and new kitchens, and that was done by the government. That was done by the Blair Brown government.
Okay, Emma?
I suppose one thing for us is just ensuring that commitments are measured and that Labour keeps to their promise. I mean, how are you going to promise us that you're going to commit to what you're saying?
Well, I have quarterly meetings with the leader of the council, so I can certainly raise it there with the leader. So if I make that a priority, I'm happy to report back to people as to what steps the council is taking towards that. And I'm happy to respond to people if they ask me. So I'm happy to be held to account on that. I do think it's incredibly important that we do take steps and take steps urgently, because we only have 10 or 11 years to reverse this. And each borough, everybody has to muck in and do their share.
I suppose, sorry, Francis, just back to what Francis was saying. It's about a community working together. So I suppose for the community, there's so many groups that are extremely passionate about climate change, and it's a matter of the council working together with those groups on a local level that we're going to be able to tackle this problem head on.
I couldn't agree more. I know that coming up soon is... National Tree Planting Week, and I know that the Friends of Broomfield Park, they organise tree planting in Broomfield Park. So that shows one example of a local group that's doing something that will benefit us all.
I mean, that's why we've set up the Enfield Climate Action Group. I mean, we've set it up and we've already got 50 organisations wanting to be involved, and I'm sure that will grow. And that's because we believe that you know, climate change, the whole community thing. So that sort of initiative, is that something you would support?
Yeah, I think groups working together is a great way forward. I think that sometimes some of the best initiatives come from the cooperation, and the ideas shared from different community groups, and a good idea is a good idea no matter who it comes from. So I'd certainly welcome a cooperative initiative like that.
Okay, Emma?
I don't like how this question's written, but I'm going to try and make it a bit nicer. The problem with Labour's plans is that they want both growth and a reduction in carbon emissions. Many economists say that this is just not possible, especially in the short term. To get growth and the amount of carbon reductions needed, many say it's quite unlikely. If it is, then what would Labour do?
Well, one of the things that I know John McDonnell and the Treasury team are looking at is one of the measures that the Bank of England have in recording how well the economy is doing is about sort of growth. But if we had another measure about sort of what they're doing to tackle climate change, then that would be something that would certainly focus their minds on the economy. Labour's pledged to create 1 million jobs. Many of those jobs will be in the green economy. So things like having more offshore wind farms and onshore wind farms as well. Things like looking at tidal lagoons, things like creating more solar panels. I think Labour's pledged to have 22,000 football pitches of the solar panels across the country. These are very ambitious targets and they will create jobs. Whether they create them quick enough is another matter, because you have to sort of change what's going on in the manufacturing to achieve this. But if you don't try, you won't achieve. So obviously, you know, the statement of intent is there.
So are you saying that Labour is moving towards not using GNP as a measurement of growth, but looking towards different measurement and looking towards a steady state economy, a secular economy, one where growth isn't important, but where striving together is?
Yeah, I think at the moment, one of the few measures that the Bank of England has is growth in accordance to GDP. But I think there are other measures that can be done, that can be looked at. And I think this is an area that Labour is focusing on. So looking at alternative measures for the economy is very important. And certainly linking it to climate change is absolutely necessary, in my view.
Okay, Emma.
Well, I always get this one. I got this one last time. You're now beginning to have an extensive green policy and also advocating a Green Deal. Many of these come from what the Green Party has been saying for years. So how would you convince people to vote for you when you have come so late to the table, rather than the Green Party that many would see as authentic?
Well, as I said earlier, a good idea is a good idea no matter who has it. But I think the Labour Party is best placed to form the next government. And that's why I would say to people, obviously think about how you're going to vote. And if the climate change emergency is important to you, as it should be to everybody, then vote for Labour, because we're best placed to form the next government.
Okay, somehow I thought you might say that. I mean, what do you think for national government and local government is most important? Changing lifestyles and personal consumption, or chasing up the polluters like the oil companies and the extraction industry?
It is both, but I think a number of companies, I think it's like less than 100, actually cause a significant amount of pollution. And I think going after them is also incredibly important, because we can all do our bit in our own lifestyle, but if a number of corporations are causing pollution and affecting the environment, then we do need to go after them. And that's why one of the things that the Labour Party is also committed to is taxing the polluters and the big companies that cause much of the carbon emissions. And going after them and taxing them and using that money to be reinvested in the economy, in the green economy, and making sure that, number one, they stop polluting, but number two, the money that they make from the profits of carbon fuel is put back into environmental reductions, environmental benefits of the community.
And you would also concentrate on changing lifestyles as well. Would you encourage that, or would you find that something the electorate wouldn't accept?
I think we do have to change our lifestyles. One of the things that the IPCC have also suggested is that we look at sort of going from a less meat-based diet to a more plant-based diet. So that's something that we may want to think about ourselves, about taking responsibility for that. So we do need to look at what we do and how we contribute to CO2 emissions. So we do have some responsibility ourselves. And if you go to schools, as I've done, it's a big issue for young people. The two things that they talk about in schools, the two things they ask me about are Brexit and climate change. And climate change is going to be a long-term problem. Also, if we don't take action now, we're at risk of losing a number of species, which could also tip the balance against us. And once those species are gone, we're in big trouble.
Okay, Emma?
I'm just going back to housing. So the response to the Grenfell disaster has shown how difficult it is to change existing housing stock, even to save lives. How would you overcome these difficulties to make all our housing stock zero carbon by 2030?
Well, again, in the Labour Party manifesto, the pledge is there to make all new build properties carbon neutral. I think with the existing ones, you do need to look at whether you either retrofit them or whether they need to be replaced. So I think long term, the cheaper solution is obviously to retrofit. But any new build properties that should be held to this higher standard where they are carbon neutral.
Okay, let's just ask you a different question. I mean, what's your view that, the West has been historically responsible for most of the greenhouse gases, and that nowadays when we're reducing our emissions, we aren't really, we're exporting it, we're outsourcing it to China and India. And to be honest and to be authentic, we should include some of their emissions in the accounting of our country, because they're doing the dirt so that we can be clean.
I don't disagree with that argument. I think the West has certainly profited financially, economically from plundering the wealth of other nations, particularly in the areas of industry. And this goes back to colonial times. And we're then trying to hold other countries to account that are developing economies when we're the ones who've been responsible for much of the damage that's been done. So, you know, I do think that we do need to shoulder much of the burden, but we can't escape the fact that many of the big countries like China, like India, and also the USA also need to take responsibility for the emissions that they cause. Because, you know, I think the UK is only responsible for 2% of CO2 emissions. This is a global emergency, and we need to put pressure on all those countries to take the appropriate action to reduce their emissions.
Okay, Emma.
Back to you now. What's the one thing that you would legislate on to tackle climate change?
I think we need to look at alternatives to our energy use. So it would be to provide for more solar panels, more wind farms, and things like tidal lagoons as alternatives to the fossil fuels. So that's probably my priority, and also requiring them more planting of trees as well nationally.
Okay, and finally, do you think we're getting to the stage where a national emergency means that we have to treat this like war? We have to take all the steps that are necessary. We have to have a war cabinet that looks at this because it's not just a war that will end and everything gets better. It's something that will end life on the planet if, as you say, biodiversity is affected. So yeah. Are we in a state where a state of emergency means we're in a state of war?
This should be the item at the top of every cabinet agenda. The government, it should pervade every cabinet department. And so, you know, this is a top priority. We cannot escape this. We need to make it front and centre of everything that we do. So I think it is of huge significance, and we ignore it at our peril.
Okay, right. We've sort of come to the end of our 20 minutes. It always goes far too quickly. Anyhow, thanks, Bambos, for doing this. Thanks, Emma, for helping as well and for your questions. And, you know, it's been a really good interview. And thank you, like with all the other candidates, for doing this, because climate change didn't start this general election as high on the agenda, but it's getting higher and higher, and it should. And so your contribution and all the others has been important in helping to do that. So thanks, Bambos.
Thank you.
Okay, and we'll end this interview now.